Hey, what's good? Bienvenidos. Welcome to the Mid-South Boogaloo Podcast, a podcast that serves as educational, creative, informative, and intellectual space for African Americans and Latinos alike, an effort to encourage unity, peace, knowledge, and creativity. And I'm your host, Alexander Parker. Hola mi gente, ¿qué pasa? Hope you guys are doing well and have been enjoying the content thus far. This is episode 5 of the Mid-South Boogaloo Podcast. The following is a conversation between Jashawn Powell and myself. Jashawn is a good friend of mine and we go way back. As I say in the episode, he was one of my first friends I made when I first went to art college after high school. He's a goofy guy and loves to crack jokes, but at the same time, he's observant, witty, intellectual, highly creative, ambitious, and talented in many areas, and is a true example of a Renaissance man. So I asked him to be on the podcast, and we had a very in-depth but fun conversation. But I think he might have had too much fun. This man even tried to be the host. Like, what are you doing? But seriously, I have a lot of respect for Jashawn, and I would love to have him back on the show in the future at some point. In this episode, we talk about hip-hop, both the culture and movement itself, and the music expressions within hip-hop, mainly rap music. I want to express that growing up, I've had mixed feelings about hip-hop music and culture, and also, I guess I can include hood culture in that as well. But I've come to understand that hip-hop is about community, groups that have been marginalized in U.S. society, the reality of impoverished conditions, the lack of access and opportunity that Black Americans, Latinos, and other people of color experience in the U.S., the injustices that minorities face, but also at the same time, it possesses themes of confidence, fighting against oppression, and freedom of expression. The emergence of hip-hop is tied to things such as the war on drugs, the war on crime, redlining, mass incarceration, the events of the civil rights movement, the Black Panthers and the creation of Black gangs, the blocking of Black youth from learning instruments, the rise of DJs, and the leap and rather evolution in technology from the 60s to the 90s. In my opinion, it is also a sort of precursor to the internet. The internet is home to a huge diversity of voices, information, code, and pretty much everything else out there. In a similar vein, hip-hop uses a wide variety of sounds across time and welcomes influences from many different cultures and groups. Largely, African Americans identify with hip-hop music and culture, though Latinos, especially Puerto Ricans, who have had a heavy involvement in jazz music historically, and the Afro-Caribbean groups such as Jamaicans who introduced the sound system culture have also played vital roles in the movement of hip-hop. Ultimately, hip-hop culture and music is beautiful, creative, innovative, inclusive, intellectual, and serves as commentary to socioeconomic and racial issues in the U.S. American comedian Roy Wood Jr. said on one of his stand-up bits, "You want to know what Black people are feeling? Just listen to their music. Our music tells you everything that's going on in the Black psyche." Hip-hop is a dynamic musical expression and art form that has been and is full of geniuses, revolutionaries, artists, and just talented people. Jashawn and I also mentioned reggaeton and Latin trap, which are, you know, also tied to hip-hop. And we also talked about martial arts and fighting games as new age mental chess. And we also spoke briefly about what does it mean to be an artist of life and a Renaissance man. Another very important discussion that Jashawn and I had was about Memphis. The thing is, a lot of people do see Memphis as just a ghetto dump, or they just think, oh, this is where Elvis used to perform and live, and also there's pretty good barbecue here. But Memphis is more than those things, way more than those things. It is not like other cities that we like to romanticize, like New York, Miami, LA. It's a city with its own unique identity. It's a place with character, a place with a vast and interesting history. Memphis is a city full of potential, And there is a lot of creative and ambitious people in the city. And even though the city does have issues connected to inequality, poverty, equity, access, and racism, it is a place that will one day be full of undeniable champions. Individuals that will transform Memphis's reputation from a place full of crime to a place full of innovation, creativity, interesting people, and opportunity. It is undeniable that Jayshon Powell is one of those champions. I encourage you all to follow him on Spotify and also on his multiple YouTube channels tied to gaming, anime, beat making, music, and so much more. Jayshon and I had a long conversation, so this episode will be divided into two parts. Part one, mainly focusing on Jayshon and who he is, and also breaking down hip hop and rap music. And part two, focusing on martial arts, fighting games, and our thoughts about Memphis. And finally, I do want to mention that I'm aware that there has been a lot going on in Cuba, Colombia, Peru, and Haiti. As an up-and-coming journalist and as someone with a platform, I want to do my part and spread awareness of the issues happening in these countries. I do have some links on my Instagram page that will direct you to different petitions and donations. Now, for Jayshon and I's conversation, episode 5 of the Mid-South Boogaloo Podcast. Hope you guys enjoy. Thank you. Gracias. All right, guys, welcome to the Mid-South Boogaloo Podcast. And here with me is my good friend, Jayshon Powell.
Gang, gang, gang. What's up, man?
Yeah, how's it going, man?
Yeah,
man. I haven't seen you in a long, long time.
It's been a while, I'd say. It's been a while. You know, I've just been out here doing things, you know, musical things, working things, business things. So, yeah, that's where I've been at.
Man, awesome, man. Yeah, and it's great to see you, and I'm so glad that we can do this today.
Yeah, I am too, man. It's been a long time in the making, right? We've been playing this episode for a minute. Finally getting it out. Yeah. So.
Well, yeah, man, it's so great to you. Great for you to be here. And I'll go and say, like, Jayshon, he's a good friend of mine. I've known him for years now. From my art school days at the Memphis College of Art. Jayshon Powell, a.k.a. A. Scott.
A to the C to the E, G to the A to the H to the D. Okay.
Get it right.
Yes, sir.
And he's one of the most interesting people I've ever met. A guy you should never underestimate, and it's full of surprises. And he's also, as I said, he's also one of my close friends. And he was one of the first friends I've made at MCA.
Yeah, that's true, man. I remember that day.
Yeah.
You're sitting at that lunch table, man. And, I'm like, hey, who's this guy? Let's go talk to him. And I was beside Thero at the time. Thero, a good friend of mine, Thero. It was like, hey, let's just go talk to this guy. Because, you know, it was the freshman. New freshmen were coming in. And we just wanted to make him feel at home. And Alex is one of the people we personally reached out to. And it turned out well.
Yeah. Like, to this day, like, I won't forget that, man.
Yeah.
Like, the way you and Thero, like, reached out to me, I feel like I needed that, you know?
It was because a pull-up,
like,
man.
I feel like from then on, it, like, improved my, like, the rest of the experience at, you know, at MCA.
Also, because, you know? Like, when we first got to MCA, it wasn't very many black people there.
Right.
So, you know, we all just grouped together when we first got there because, like, we was, like, the test pilots, right? So, like, we got a new class of, like, black students. We made it our business to just know people, and especially if they were black, actually. It sounds weird when you say especially, but yeah, especially if they were black. We want to talk to them. You know, certain things we just relate to on a human experience. So, I'm glad you remember that, actually. Because I definitely remember it. And,
it set the stage for everything else, I feel like.
Yeah.
From school, but also, I guess, after I left MCA.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, conversation, man, is important.
Yeah.
Sometimes people just need a little push. And I'm glad.
Especially like me, like graduating high school, like leaving high school. Mm-hmm. I guess I was carrying stuff from there into art school.
See, yeah.
And so I needed like a little push, and like you and Thero gave me that push.
That's the growing thing, right? Yeah. Certain people, it's like, what's funny about college is like it levels the playing field, right? The like nerds, the jocks, and like everybody, they're all on the same playing field. Nobody has any level of status, hierarchy, and importance. Only thing that's like makes you like that guy in college usually is like, are you doing well?
Right.
Do the teachers personally like you and stuff like that? Yeah. So that's when a lot of people realize, oh man, the popular kids are kind of lame in life. They're losers. Well, the status you were assigned in a space where everybody knew you for 4 or 5 years and stuff, like the new kid in high school, you know, it's really weird being a new kid in high school, right? Because they don't have friends. But in high school, those are legacy friends. In college, you don't bring legacy friends. Usually you don't, at least. And if you do, it's like your personal fan base of 2 or 3. Right. So, yeah.
And you're also Deshaun. Deshaun is a rapper.
I'm also Deshaun. Yes, I am. In the time where I'm not A. Scott, I'm also Deshaun. Just so everybody knows.
Yeah, I was looking at my notes. but Deshaun, my man, like, you're also a martial artist, a gamer, anime fan, much more, but mainly, martial artist, gamer, and anime fan.
I'm a rapper. Don't forget I'm a rapper, man. I do poetry too and stuff. I do a lot of stuff, man. I do music design and stuff like that. So like, just not just rapping, I'm producing stuff. I like make the beats. I'm like the entire creative process. I design my logos, do my cover art, and I send my songs off to DistroKid. I do video treatments for music video shoots. I even hold the camera, you know, sometimes if they let me hold the camera, I hold the camera. So yeah, I'm a creative in a lot of ways. I'm an artist. That's the easiest way to say it, an artist, a multimedia artist.
Man, that's awesome. You know, I've been hearing, I really resonate with like Bruce Lee's notion of an artist of life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like being like, not just like being a good painter, but just carrying the spirit of an artist and just having the creative spirit. And like, I guess in many things that you do.
Well, I mean, I refer to myself as like a Renaissance man. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, it's also like the terms that I've seen, I guess, like compared to that is like there's the artist of life. There's. I heard this one person say creative junkie.
Yeah.
And then there's, the Renaissance man.
Yeah. So like this.
So those are the things that.
I put that in my music a bit too, like the Renaissance man idea. Just because like, I think my approach to music, I guess we'll get into that later about my approach to music and stuff. I'd always like start coming from like before I started recording, I was doing a lot of poetry. The interaction with beat. In person was like weird to find a space where we agree. So like discovering that was one of the biggest forms of artistic discovery. Just finding things I agree, like different moods and stuff like that, and that I can experiment with. Cause like a lot of times I just thought bars was just so important. Like I was so lyrical, I was really lyrical. And I thought lyrics were like, that was it. Like, but like when you're doing music as a full body experience. You want people to feel something. So that can be used with, whether your voice or your drums or everything's an instrument in that case. So,
And like, that's something that I appreciate about rap is like using, not just rhyming, not just using, not just rapping over a beat, but also just like playing with words, like playing with vocabulary and using it to convey something can like convey multiple things. Like one bar can convey, like man, that's one of the things I really love about rap music.
I had a coworker. I'm not going to say her name or anything like that, but she's not of African-American descent. She was not catching the bars. Like, at all. She missed every last one. They flew over her head. She's like, what does it mean? But it means this. I'm like, yes, and it also means this. But how? He only said it one time. That's the point. That's why it's clever. it was the funniest.
I feel like you got to be, at least like have some exposure of the culture to understand. Yeah.
He's like, but why did he just say that? He did say it. He said it in a way that was slick. Because this was, man. Yep. Yeah, it's the culture of hip hop is really interesting, man. Yeah. It's somewhat of a baby of a lot of other things. Yeah. So it's a melting pot. Like,
I gotta say, growing up, I've always had I've had mixed feelings about hip hop and rap music.
Yeah,
but I feel like my friendship with David, he introduced me to people like Shofu and Shizzy.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, you never heard of those guys, huh? Yeah.
No. Now until like, I think like 2011, 2012 maybe.
Yeah, that's when I first started to listen to them. Yeah. Yeah.
And so.
They do real music. See, let me not say nerdcore. Let me not. I don't want to smoke with these guys. They do
music. So like, listen to them and watching them work made me understand something that I didn't understand before.
See, you did bring up the year 2011. Let me just clarify. They were doing a lot of anime influence and music. Like, they were doing a lot of that. So, like, but now they evolved to, like, artists to do, like, more common music.
Yeah,
so.
They're known, like, you know, people that don't know, Shofu and Shizzy, they're known for making anime and Pokemon, or even just, like, just anything geek we're culture
known.
Style.
We're known. 6X is going to be taken as a serious artist, man. He come for them Knicks. Shofu, what if you take it as a serious artist, man? Take it as, like, they are serious artists, though. And really, what they did was, like, really great, man. It inspired so many people. I know I personally was tuned in, like, especially in, like, the Team Backpack days. I don't know if you know about the Team Backpack thing.
Yeah, but
So, like, the Team Backpack was a platform where a lot of underground artists came, and, like, we had some Diamonds in the Rough. Not so much Shofu, but Shizzy, 6X. He did a lot of those cyphers and stuff, and I always remember those. That's a lot of artists and like beat makers I was exposed to there are currently doing pretty decently as far as on the independent scene. So, like, as an independent artist, I feel like, you know, they were huge inspirations. And they weren't from Memphis, you know, those people from all over, you know, you got Brooklyn, you got California. A kid from Memphis listening to that type of things, it could influence the style a bit. Because, you know, the Southern style got a little bit more twang to it, I say. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, even in speech, you know.
Yeah.
More
twang.
Yeah.
But, like, the, you know, lyricism and display of vocabulary there, you know, I won't say it forced you to think out the box, because I do think we got Memphis artists that do already do so. You know, we had, like, Dunn Tripp, you know, one of the more lyrical artists to exist come out of Memphis. But when you listen to, like, a bunch of underground artists and independent artists, they attack things from ways that aren't conventionally seen in a normal person looking to go mainstream. So, you know, hearing that type of representation is everything, at least to me, coming from a perspective of trying
to. And also, I want to say, like, being exposed to those people were important, because I got to understand, to really understand, like, what the spirit of hip hop and rap is.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's
deep.
Yeah. It's confidence. It's, I mean, sometimes it could be, like, on a line of boasting, but confidence is about, like, wordplay, expressing yourself and, like, conveying an idea.
It's entertainment, and it's a lot of it comes from the line of believability. If you're rapping about selling drugs, you've never been on a block. Like, I don't believe you. I don't believe you've been selling drugs. You got,
right.
I have to feel you. It's a feeling thing. You know what I'm saying? Hip hop is one of them art forms that prides itself off of being really genuine.
Right.
A lot of genuine stuff comes from hip hop, but also entertainment value too. Yeah. Let's not, cause, like, you know, Eminem, like, kind of, like, broke the mold a bit for, like, a lot of, I guess, less genuine lyrics. When he was doing more Slim Shady type things, whatever he did, less genuine stuff, but it was really entertaining to hear. And, like, when he did talk, like, real, you felt it, because you could tell when he's been serious and genuine. So,
and, like, would you recommend, like, people that aren't as into hip hop, would you, like, recommend artists that rap about certain things in a certain niche, and then they can get, like, a better idea of what?
I listen to a lot of, I consume a lot of media, a lot of music, man. It's depend, like, what, give an example, like a topic.
Like, I mean, Shofu, like, they rap, they, like,
yeah,
they're,
like,
they're Pokemon raps. Like, if you're a person that plays Pokemon and
stuff,
you can, like, okay, this is what rap is.
For sure. You got Dizzy 8, you know what I mean? You got Shofu, you got 6X, you got CTC.
Yeah, Matt Houston.
Those guys. Those guys definitely do, like, that's the Cypher game, right? I'm just gonna list off most of the Cypher game in France.
Yeah. And, like, there was, like, a cypher where, like, I can't remember the exact bar or usage, but somebody mentioned, like, a shell, shooting a shell.
Yeah.
And that can mean a Pokemon that has a shell on its back, but also saying that I'm going to, like,
I mean, shoot. I don't know. I feel like, me personally, that's one of the easier applications. I can do that in my sleep, personally, because shells and shells, you know, no brainer, right? Put a shell on your back, shell on your back. I feel like the level of, like, being clever, I don't know if that necessarily applies there. Like, maybe on the outside looking in, maybe.
Okay.
But, like, it feel like one of those base talents that our artists really would have. But when people go into, like, different descriptions of something without personally kind of saying it, and they just, like, kind of describe it in a certain way, I think that's when, like, you start to reach, like, little areas. Like, recontextualization is everything in music. When I can get you to hear or see a word in a different way that you didn't normally hear it is, or a sound, if I play a sound and it means something totally different, or something I don't say and get you to see that as a word when I didn't even say it, that's when you reach, like, artistry and music. That's the, like, type of experimentation stuff I strive to, like, continue to uphold. So, yeah.
What would you say are the biggest misconceptions of rap?
The biggest misconceptions of rap, man, you know, it's all about money, cars, clothes, and I almost said it. You know, rap is just a genre of self-expression.
Right. And like,
you can say a lot of stuff.
I get it. You know, hip hop, like now I had an understanding of hip hop. It's about community. It's about people that have been marginalized for, you know, the beginnings of this nation from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Also, the, you know, war on drugs also being a factor, stuff from the civil rights being a factor, redlining, black people only living in certain neighborhoods. There will be no hood if, like, black families are buying homes.
So, I hate the misconception that,
or maybe I'm wrong here.
Hip hop, no, you won't. the idea, like, that, music is making you do things or making your children do things and influencing them in a bad way. I think that's a little bit short-sighted when I say that. There's a lot of straight-A students listening to 50 Cent talking about selling drugs and moving packs that grow up perfectly fine and humble members of society. You know, giving the responsibility to those artists are not raising your kids. I guarantee you. Yeah. Like,
they're just like entertain-
you can like things.
Yeah.
You can like how things sound. But to say that they influence your behavior so much directly is the amount of weight they put on it is ridiculous. The amount of weight they put on what artists say is ridiculous. I mean, yeah, those words are going to help somebody, and they, like, they got words that do. But like to say, oh, this person rapping about shooting somebody's grandma, so that person shot somebody's grandma. You know, either that person's like lacks amount of intelligence or something, like, that's not the music's fault. You're creating art. You talk about the human experience. You're doing something that's fun that people can enjoy and, like, maybe even be significant. I think that's what music is all about. But, like, even in rock, right, where people are like, you wonder how people enjoy screamo bands. It's not necessarily what that's – it's what the feeling, the emotion that you're giving people. It's you're selling the experience. You're an entrepreneur of experience as a musician. And
do you think every genre of music is, like, a different experience?
Depends. Yeah, for sure. Like, if I'm listening to country music, man, I'm, you know, they gonna tell a love story or something about beer on a pickup truck, and sometimes it's entertaining, right? I might listen to Morgan Wallen, you know, for the whiskey glasses. I was sad, and I listened to whiskey glasses.
You know that song, Chris Stapleton, Tennessee Whiskey?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I love that song.
Absolutely.
Love it. My girlfriend got me on that song.
Yeah. So, like, I like a lot of hip hop, right? It's a blend of a lot of genres. Hip hop, like, takes from, like, me personally, if I can't enjoy, like, other genres of music, I don't think I could be, like, necessarily a really big fan of hip hop. And I think people who are only fans of, like, this one genre of music, whatever, they tend to get into, like, just one type of music, and they are severely limited in what they can create.
Right.
Like, you can't paint crazy good canvas with, like, limited, well, you can, actually, limited color palette is good. This analogy is not working at all that I was going to say. But, like, expand your palette, expand colors. I was going to talk about it, you know, just throw it away. It was flawed from the ground up. But,
wait, do we have a class of, like, using a stick and ink?
Yeah, and just... man. Like, we made this stick work. But, I think we, like, artists, and hip-hop is one of those things that just appreciates art over time, even if, especially black art. So, like, hip-hop is intentionally influenced by, like, you know, the blues, soul, jazz, those genres, those really influence hip-hop. Some artists have it more pronounced than others. Like, you listen to Kendrick Lamar, he got really heavy jazz fusion influence. You listen to J. Cole, he got really, like, jazz influences. Yeah. You listen to...
I feel like
Bruno Mars, he got funk and stuff. He's not a rapper or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, the influence of music. And then they go back and use samples from those songs.
Right.
So, like, when hip hop was first made, right?
And I was going to say, I feel like a lot of the old school rap has, like undeniable, that jazz element.
It's because the music they had access to, the music they were listening to on daily, they used it. The DJs used to be the real celebrities back in the day. They were like the coolest people ever, right? So they re-spent like James Brown of Payback, scratched it a couple times and everything. And they went back and sampled that and put it back into something they can rap over. And like that's still a you know, tradition carried on to this day. Hip hop, that's why hip hop's like the most nobody really thought it was gonna be the biggest thing ever, but I feel like when you mix so many genres, it can only grow.
Now it's
a monster. It's the number one.
It's a global sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the number one.
It sounds like all genre. Levels. Like, you know, it's on commercials and movies and, you know, TV, like everywhere.
Rock and roll, you had your time. It's hip hop's time. It used to be rebellious.
And I feel like it's almost like jazz almost had that level, you know?
Jazz evolved with jazz fusion. That's the entire jazz fusion movement, right? Jazz fusion was jazz's ability to adapt to time. So, like, nobody really wanted to listen to, like, really, like, finger-tappy jazz. So they started adding more, like, synth keyboards and stuff. And they just started making a really funky jazz sound that, like, evolved and aged really well.
And there's, like, a very, like, there's a lot of variations of jazz. Mm-hmm. You know, there's Latin jazz even.
Yes. Latin jazz is amazing, man. Yeah. Like, the Ramones and stuff. I listen to a little Latin jazz in my day. Like, at least the jazz fusion aspect. Even Asian jazz. I don't know if you heard Asian jazz, but they get Asian artists down, bro. Yeah. they play the crap out of those instruments.
Then there's like bossa nova in Brazil, and jazz played a role in that. Mm-hmm. So like jazz definitely had that reach, but I feel like hip hop almost like mirrors it, but also goes beyond of what jazz did, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's the jazz fusion movement. That's the movement I'm going to consistently go back to, because that's one of the more important movements in music history. The jazz fusion movement, without that movement, I don't think we have like certain aspects of soul, let alone hip hop. Jazz fusion was crazy, man. It's really good.
And I'm thinking about this, you know, RZA was on Joe Rogan, I think last year or so, the year before that. Recently, he was on the podcast. And he said, one of the cool things about hip hop is that it's very, very inclusive. And there's like a lot of sounds that are used in hip hop.
Man, let me say, I've been including sun claves in my music for a while now. And they're like, tick, tick, you know, it makes a great sound. Yeah. That's a Latin instrument. That's it. It's an African instrument too.
Yeah,
but like,
it comes from like West Africa. But then like, you know, you see it pop up in like Latin stuff. Like
I've been using the Tricello. I'm a really big music nerd when it comes to that. Yeah. Before I put it in my music, I kind of study to see if I can like culture a sound.
I didn't know that you like that kind of
stuff.
Yeah, man.
Like I'm a real big nerd about stuff like that. Right? Who knew? So
you know about it's like bump bump bump. Yeah. That's the song clovey. That's what you hear a lot in like salsa, Latin jazz.
Interestingly enough, pop uses that Tricello effect a lot. Like Ed Sheeran and like Justin Bieber, all those guys used the. Like that sound influenced so many. Think about 2000. I think it was 10. 2010. That was the entire sound of like pop. I think it's like you can check it out. I think it's called Pop Soca. People are calling it Pop Soca, but Pop it was Soca? Yeah. It's Popsoca. It is basically the influence of everything based off the Tricello effect. That sun clave, man, is really important. And like when you mix hip hop with that, it's an addictive sound that makes you want to repeat it over and over and over again. And like, as an artist, why would I not want to research something that want people to repeat my songs over and over again? I experimented with a lot. I'm an experimental artist.
You know, the first thing that comes up is, oh wait, never mind. I was gonna say the first thing that comes up is Pop Soda, but I see more of the Pop Soca now.
Pop Soda. I mean, look at that. They might get some of that same influences there. But I really do enjoy the way hip hop can take from so much and come off as genuine and original. I think, some songs can be corny trying to imitate hip hop, but hip hop imitating other genres usually can be done in a really, it can be corny too, I guess, but like it can be done really well. And it's consistently been done well over time.
Would you say there are some successful, I guess, branches of hip hop? Like there's reggaeton and there's Latin trap and
I like that too. I like that.
So like they kind of copy, like they kind of carry like the similar energy of hip hop,
man. I'm a huge fan, like like Bad Bunny and Maluma and stuff. So like fun fact, I liked the girl one time. I didn't really like Spanish, was like not like the greatest of my greatest language, but like I liked the girl, and like over the course of 3 days I learned Spanish.
Three days.
Yeah. So like,
hey, did you go over like the like past tense, present tense, like, future tense?
I didn't care about grammar as much because I knew I'd get corrected when I said it. I cared about actually knowing words in my bank to say these things. Because if I say it wrong, she gonna know what I said still. I listened to a bunch of Bad Bunny and translated this, because Bad Bunny's like what is Puerto Rican? Puerto Rican. He like Puerto Rican Drake. You know what I mean? Like the sadness in his songs is reflected. And then like I listened to like watch some Telemundo's subtitles in Espanol. So I watched it. I visually seen it. Then I turned it off, like seeing if I could still hear them. And like eventually get to the point where my hearing was really good, and my speech where it wasn't. And it just comes over time. And so like,
so you feel like you're more of like an auditory learner?
No, I think I'm like an immersive learner. I like the, so like I went to work one day. I worked at Freedus. Nah, I gotta tell people I work at Freedus. I went to Freedus. Worked at Freedus. Worked. It's complicated. But I worked at Freedus and I said, if they didn't say it in Spanish, it's not important. And every time they tried to talk to me in English, I completely ignore them until they spoke to me in Spanish. Because, man, if you go to like a Mexican restaurant or any like Mexican function or whatever, and you got a lot of people speaking Spanish, it's like a secret code, right? We're going to talk about these people and they won't know what we said. It's like a secret club. When you learn Spanish, you now are a part of that club. They started hearing them like,
listening, like, oh, wait, you talking about me?
Like, yeah. And you like throw your insults back. I can't say them, you know. You throw your insults back. And like, now it's funner. And like, man, people are kind of impressed. Like, even when I have tables and I speak something in Spanish because they don't speak English, they wonder how. And like, I guess with the right motivation. Or with the right motivation, things get possible.
I feel like especially like here in Memphis, I feel like it would be different in New York or Miami because like there's dark, like black Latinos.
Yeah. And then like Texas, Latinos, right? Yeah. Oh, like San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, Texas has that too.
California got a really big community too. Yeah, I've been there for CTNX, it's an animation expo.
Okay.
And, yeah.
But I feel like here in the South, people just assume, you know, oh, he's black. He doesn't know Spanish.
Yeah. No, that's... Yeah. Probably. Not even gonna lie, probably. Like a lot of people needing it. Like when I was in high school, at least my experience was like we had people like clowning the Spanish teacher for trying to teach us something that's like really like you will be so cultured. Everything, your quality of life may improve by learning a second language. I actually may reach out and learn like 3 or 4 more languages before I die. Like just because like when you can talk to somebody and they respond back, now you understand them a bit more. You can talk about topics that you never would. Because, like, when a person doesn't know English, they're only limited by what they know. So, like, they may not talk about some deep topic. Nobody going to talk about you about depression. That's not in their native language if they're not speaking it well. And if they do, you might not take it as seriously. But when you talk to them in their language about their problems, you get, like, a really rich experience for human.
I agree.
The language segue, but like, it all stemmed from like music, and like, you know, influence. And like, I even learned that language with music. See what I mean? So like, that's crazy. It's absolutely crazy, man.
Like, what are the languages that you want to learn? Like, you want to, you know, I assume keep learning Spanish, but also you want to learn Portuguese or Japanese? Like, what other?
Yeah, Portuguese, yes. Japanese, I'm a work in progress. I got a friend online that speaks Hindi. I think it was hitting, like, I'm picking that up.
Okay.
Like, just a bunch of, like, major languages, I feel like, that I'm likely to go. Like, German's going to be a really weird one, because I hate saying it. German sounds so hard. Like, everything they say sounds really hard.
Yeah, I feel there's, like, a lot of, like, nuances in German.
Yeah. Then I'm going to hate doing French. Because, you know, the popular ver, 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 mean. So, like, basically, they got a word ver. And like it means like so many things based on how you pronounce it. So like the pronunciation gonna be crazy. Those type of things. Yeah.
But like back to hip hop.
Yeah, back to hip hop, right? Language. Educating people. No, they ain't come here for that.
Well, like what are some of the things like I mean I was gonna say like what do you like about hip hop? But
what I like about hip hop?
I guess like before that, I guess I wanna talk about like what are some of the things that you want to if you could. What are some of the things you can improve about hip hop?
I think hip hop is like a thing that's going to improve itself consistently. Okay. Even like, what is it? The mumble rap genre, right? Everybody talked about how destructive that was to hip hop. It wasn't. It improved hip hop. I strongly agree that it improved hip hop. Like,
so?
You didn't like it then because it was something different, right? Nobody liked mumble rap, right? But look at the artists, those guys. I guess they call them Lil Bo, Lil Uzi Vert. Lil Pump, those guys, right? Those littles that came out around the, you know, 2015. Like, nobody liked their music, right? But when you listen to it, they called it mumble rap because you just listen to it. And you listen to the cadence. Not necessarily what they say, but you listen to cadences. Now, cadences are strongly improved versus how it was back in the day. Like, you know, you had different, I'm going to talk about gentrification, you know, that type of thing. But now it's like, like, they're using their vocals more so as instruments, more so than ever before.
So it's more so about, like, the musicality of the voice?
Yes. The voice is used more of an instrument than ever before in hip-hop.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's amazing that something people saw as a weakness has strengthened the, and then like the top, like most lyrical rappers are now taken from that type of wave. J. Cole embraced it, right? J. Cole now has stronger cadences. Like if you listen to some of the older J. Cole, right? He said really strong stuff and that was his strong point. But when he mixed it with cadence and stuff, he touched a new side of fan base. Now young people are like, oh my God, J. Cole is the hardest person. And like we all feel like the same, I guess the same way. Kendrick Lamar actually, I don't know what was going on with that Baby Keem. I don't know if you know about the Baby Keem situation. They said he was ghostwriting for him or he was ghostwriting for him because it's like his little cousin. But like they were reference tracking. But Baby Keem has like a certain sound where he has cadences. It's those same sounds you find in Kendrick Lamar's track. I don't know who was writing for who. But the fact of the matter is that the cadence influence on Kendrick Lamar has strengthened from when he first started. He was one of the person people you would have always expected, though. He always experimented with his voice and his inflictions and stuff. So like,
and by cadence, you mean just mean like using the voice, right?
Or the rhythm of how you're saying words and like the way it sounds when it comes out of your mouth.
Okay.
Like I can say, Stax history is black history, right? I can say Stax history is black history. Or a stag history is black history. You know what I'm saying? Like the way you see the way I'm changing the way I'm saying it, and it rhymes different. Like it sounds different. Stag's history is black history. Get mad at, you know, when you say stuff like that, it makes you sound different. Gotcha. And mumble rap was all that. Like that's all it was usually. Like the lyrics, like it was difficult. You find hard, be hard pressed to find. It had ambiguous meanings. Let's just say that it had really ambiguous meanings. But the sounds were so addictive and they ingrained in your head. You looped it in your head when you heard it. It's really hunting words.
I'm curious. Do you think has that been from mainly like the Southern rappers or has that been all across?
It's universal. SoundCloud rappers. Everybody. So like regionalism is kind of dead.
Okay.
A bit. Regionalism. Yeah. That's something that was really big in like 90s hip hop, right? Everybody like, I'm from Compton. I'm from Philly.
But now because of technology and the internet. And
people are from the internet. Right. And that's I think I heard that from like Russ. Russ said people from the internet. It's absolutely true. Like people like appreciate music in a new way. You can have somebody from Memphis, Tennessee sound like they're from New York based on the way they rap and rhyme, based on the artist they like. They absorb it and they perfect it. Hip hop is a cold craft, man. It's cold. The way they can do that. I don't think I've seen like country music. People have like really similar twangs and stuff, right?
Right.
There's so many ways you can attack hip hop that I don't feel like is in any other genre. Like the amount of ways you can attack and sound. And like people who don't listen to hip hop, maybe they might think it all sound the same, but that's probably because they hadn't listened to enough hip hop. Like in rock music, right? The instruments are really big stars. And then you got lead singers with crazy voices that come a bunch of different ways. So rock music is a really big one too, but like hip hop. It's crazy. You got sample voices on top of your voice, on top of people singing, on top of drums, on top of kick patterns. It's so much going on with hip hop. It might be more instruments in hip hop almost than any other genre, honestly. More instruments that are allowed in hip hop.
So like you would definitely call hip hop polyrhythmic music.
Yes. Yeah. It's the man.
Because
it's crazy.
I feel the way about like salsa music, like salsa and like, salsa, cha-cha, boogaloo, mambo, stuff like that has a lot of polyrhythms.
Yeah,
but I feel like hip hop also has that characteristic of being
that's true.
Polyrhythmic.
And then like the Latin trap, right? They were influenced by they were influenced probably by that mumble rap generation too. I'm being with you, the way it sounds,
especially Bad Bunny.
Yeah, oh my God, but I love Bad Bunny though. Bad Bunny is really tight, man. I enjoy his music a whole lot, just because like even before like I was completely understanding his music and I felt it. I felt it. one of the earlier songs I translated by Bad Bunny was you see VL at Do Mama, or whatever, right? And before I learned the lyrics to that song, I felt it. I can feel like a backdrop of sadness about losing somebody that you liked beforehand. and, you know, going back to check on their check and see if they all right with their mama or whatever. And, like, you know, right. drinking with your friends late at night, that crap, that hit, it hit different, right? Before I knew what he was saying, though, I felt it. I felt what he was talking about. And that's the universal thing about music, man. You could just feel emotions. So shout out to the mumble rappers. I always say it, shout out to the mumble rappers, man. They evolved the game. Regardless to what the old man, lyrical rappers would think. I like those guys too. Those guys, if it wasn't for those guys, I wouldn't be rapping the way, you know, I wouldn't be rapping. Right,
exactly.
But music evolves. It's the evolution.
Yeah. So yeah, like that's also like one of the things I like about music is like it almost copies of what biology does, mm-hmm. you know, in biology, there's evolution, animals evolve, they diversify, get new traits, pass on traits. And so I think music has, it does almost the same thing.
So I think, then you get those type of things where those old man rappers say, oh, they ain't talking about nothing. I think they're like hearing the music. I don't think they're attempting to listen per se to the music because it's not what they were accustomed to and grew up. I went through a phase where I was against my rap myself, and
yeah, same here.
That's because I just wasn't trying to listen, though. Is what I'm saying. Like when you go in and with the aspect of like trying to give everything a fair shake, seeing if it has any merit to it, you start to get a richer experience with music. Even this mumble rap it's even influenced pop music. It even influenced pop music. Pop music is like having certain trap sounds in it. Like currently to this day, I think black people are like forming the culture. And there are even like it's a lot of people in hip hop now. Like it's not specifically only black people. You got like, you know, white people, Colombian people, Asian people, and everything. They all right. are in the art form, but I guess it's a predominantly black, you know, sound. So, right. like, think about that. What you know about rolling down in the deep when your brain goes? That's a hip hop type sound. The way they are saying that is really hip hop ish, and you'd be a fool if you think that wasn't inspired by hip hop. You'd be an absolute fool. It's such a crazy phenomenon when you see an art form that came from, like, you know, Sugar Hill Gang getting on the ones and twos and da 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 da, and you know, and then growing to this big thing that everybody's listening to in the club. You got white girls attempting this work to like stuff they may not be able to relate to. Hip hop is one of those art forms that make you relate to things that if you have not experienced those things, you can feel it. That's hip hop, man.
So do you feel like this, you know, hip hop is part of this line, right? There's ragtime, blues, jazz, mm-hmm. hip hop. And what do you think will follow after? Is it still going to be hip? Like, is hip hop it?
That's the name. Hip hop is the title for, you know, rap. When you say hip hop, actually, when people start referencing rap to hip hop, I always like have like two types of reactions. One, that person either like calls his music records, and that person probably spitting like there's a got absolute talent, or somebody who ain't trying to listen to hip hop. Hip hop is a movement, though.
Yeah. No,
I feel like it's just bigger than the music. It's culture. It's going to a basketball game with your braids out and getting braided up in the middle of a game. That's hip hop. It's like when people say something is so rock star, something can be so hip hop. Hip hop just is just a feeling of I apologize for that. It's so funny to me. Unapologetically living your human experience. So if you black, whatever, you go and you become able to be comfortable with being black everywhere. Even if you're a white person doing hip hop, you're comfortable with being a white person in hip hop. They're gonna call you a guest in the house, but you know, that might be where it is. Whatever, if your music can touch people, I think you're valid. Hip hop is just one of those things. It's gonna evolve, though, for sure.
Yeah.
It's gonna consistently evolve. It might go back to a place of more lyricism, and I think from what I've been hearing, because 808s are really big, I think it may be super percussion based more so in the next few years. Then it might go back to a place where more instrumentation. If you listen to Juice WRLD, he had like a lot of that Latin guitar in his music. I feel like the Latin guitar might show up again, like in the next few years, okay. And like it might be like a bunch of people may just find new instruments now to put in their music. You might hear more synth, really synthy sounds, Because that was big with Tyler and stuff. I don't think they reached the peak of it, right? The synth sounds and hip-hop. I don't think they reached
it. What do you mean by synth?
Synths are like waves and stuff that... it's a sound that you create. It's a created sound, really. It's not an actual instrument, but it's like... It's a synthesizer. Those synth sounds are always big in hip-hop, but I think they may become like really big stars in it. Like, I guess good examples of it... I go back to Tyler Creator because I know I can specifically point out examples. What is this song? This is a song with Frank Ocean. It's like really old too. It's Frank Ocean and Tyler Creator. But you can hear like those. It's a droney sound. It makes it warm though. It warms up the beat a lot of times. You may not even know it's there in some of the songs you like. But I think it might be a star of the show more so because Tyler Creator has found a lot of success in it. Even in Earthquake, he used a lot of synths, right? Like those sounds in the background, you cannot find those instruments. Those aren't actual instruments. Those are sounds that feel warm. So I think like that type of thing will probably come back into the fray soon.
And what are your thoughts on the song by Jordan Lucas called Will?
What are my thoughts on it?
Because personally, like my take on it, like I thought it was really refreshing, because yeah, there's like a lot of rap songs that like boasting and disrespecting.
Oh, Jordan Lucas full of that though. He got those songs.
Yeah, right. But like I, what I'm trying to say is like I really appreciate what he did in that song because he was like uplifting someone else in that song while keeping the spirit of hip hop.
So Jordan, the way I love Jordan Lucas. Jordan Lucas is one of those guys who is an artist who comes and put his heart on track void of expectation. He go out there and he say some stuff that may think Jordan Lucas is one of the most low down dirty people on the face of this planet,
right?
But the validity of his perspective always shines through. So like he could say something you can relate to even if you may not, you know, respect his status or something, right? Like that. Jordan Lucas is one of those artists, man. That's some GOAT status stuff, yeah, to even do that. The song Will, it's a good song. Yeah. I like it. I enjoy it. It's not my favorite Jordan Lucas song by him, but I enjoy it. Like I'm a huge fan of like stuff like Forever. If you heard the song Forever, it's about talking about, it's a crazy topic, man. He's talking about having a kid when you still out here in the streets, like trying to have one, but you end up having a kid and you wanted the girl to get an abortion, but now you're explaining to your kid those feelings and that you're sorry. So you don't understand his words right now, but you will eventually. Those songs,
yeah,
hit different on a place that I don't think rappers talk about. How dare you make me feel things, Jordan? Like, hip hop is such a big thing like that. Right. And like, it got a really hunting sound, whatever. Like, then it's a music video. Jordan Lucas, I heard about his writing process. He writes songs as videos a lot of times first, and then makes music based on that. So like the visual, he has that in his mind already. And that makes some really striking sounds and lyrics. Some people call Jordan Lucas like corny and stuff. I don't think so. He wanted a stronger artist. You know, you got the Hobson guys, you know, Joyner. You got, I give Russ some credit. Russ is like one of those guys who really, he influences the grind. Like,
What about people like Logic and Lil Dicky?
I hate that you mention Logic,
are they,
man.
Are they like the lower tier, Logic or Lil Dicky? Do you think they're like...
Man. So like Logic, up man. There. I want to rock with Logic a lot. I do. Logic is good. He's one of those guys who sounds really good on the beat. But his substance ends up repeating itself. I feel, in my opinion. No disrespect to him. I don't like what he's doing. But he sounds really good on a beat. But sometimes he end up lyrical miracling us in a way that some of the words he uses and bars, they go empty without... It'll take you like maybe a couple of like 7 bars or something to catch a punch. Or at least for him to produce a punch that hits past surface level. I think he's one of those artists, like, I don't think he's bad, but I do find him to be, I'm going to say something controversial. I find him to be overrated. I find Logic to be really overrated, you know? And like, my critique isn't about him even talking about how much he's mixed. You know what I mean? Like, he does that a lot, but.
I mean, at first I thought he was straight white, but.
Oh no!
but then I learned that he's.
Yeah, which song was it to take you? How many songs did it take you to realize he was mixed?
I mean, I don't know.
7, you know. he got a good spot. Like I respect that he could take the grind. I like that spirit. of continuing to grind in music. Maybe okay. somebody ain't feeling it. Because I got some song Logic songs that I do, in fact, like. But, man, it just oftentimes it takes a minute for me. Because, like, this is one of those things where I say he benefits a lot from cadence, the sounds he makes with his mouth. It's really rapid fire. And you end up kind of, like, looking both ways. But when you kind of, like, zoom in and listen to some of his lyrics, they don't hold a lot of weight. It's like a lot of people compare him to Eminem. But Eminem, he has some weight in that speed. Like, some of the words he say right. has some real weight behind it. And, like, when you slow your mind down to catch it, like, man, even if he said that slow, that'd still hit. I don't feel like Logic has that same type of thing.
I agree.
That he had.
I feel like he doesn't. Like, Eminem definitely has, like, more,
yeah.
more of that power to his words.
And, you know, a lot of people say he's falling off, whatever. I think Eminem is like, he one of those people just, man, he gonna continue to evolve too. Like, the way he rhymes. Strictly based on vocal performance. Maybe as far as beat performance, like integration and beat and stuff, maybe. But, like, that's a telling time. Because I think Eminem kind of has that, I don't want to say old man mindset, but he has the mindset of he gonna do what he want. He just will. Like, yeah. regardless if it's trendy or not. So
yeah, it's almost like Dave Chappelle, like how he is.
Man, I love Dave Chappelle, though. He, like,
because, like, he was
top tier comedian for me.
You know, like, he had his show, and then, like, he left at some point, then came back. And
so, man, like, I don't know if you watched
that
special.
He can, like, do whatever
about,
he wants and still.
They tried to really take his heart and soul out of that show. Yeah. Like, it was the Chappelle show, and they tried to give him a bad deal, and he walked away from it. Not a lot of people will walk away from that type of money. And Dave Chappelle has nothing but respect for walking away from me. Like, that's a lot of.
Yeah.
It takes a lot. He talks about the topics he talks about. You can't censor him. You know what I mean? Like,
he is uncensorable.
No, yeah, that's what he. Like, Eminem got the same. So yeah, I see what you mean. Like, uncensorable people. They say what they feel.
It's like, they can, like, they're at the point where they can, like, really do whatever they want.
I mean, like, I think that's just something that. Conversations, because they make it uncomfortable, doesn't mean they're valid to speak about. And artists who do that also get right. 10 points. Yeah. 10 brownie points. So, it's certain artists. Those are, and when you say Jordan Lucas and Logic and stuff, right, they may be considered to be underground. But they have had success. Because they have success, it's just a sound that's just not spoken on by artists, you know, that you may see on the higher scale or tiers. Or at least if they're saying it. It's watery. It's not as focused as the underground sound. Underground is really weird because underground should technically mean before you make it, per se. Underground is like, that's technically what it should mean, but now it's more so of a substance thing, I think. People talk about it because of substance. So, yeah.
Oh, what about Lil Dicky? What do your views on his story?
He's funny.
Story?
He's a funny guy. Like, I genuinely do feel like...
Because I could really be wrong. Funny. I feel like I do need to, like, listen to a lot more rap music, but I feel like the way he, at least the songs that I've heard, he, you know, tells stories.
Yeah, he does. He tells a lot of great stories, but also mixed it with comedy. I think that's just how.
Yeah, yeah, with comedy.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. That's just who he is. Exactly. As a person. He feels genuine when you listen to him. Yeah. Like, oh man, Dave is that's Dave. Yeah. This is Dave on the track rapping.
So like, his approach is unique.
Yeah, it's unique, like. But I like it. I mean, it works for him. Now. I don't think that makes him like the GOAT or like bad or anything like that. I just feel like he's a great rapper. He's good. Like, I got my tier list of rappers, right? You got S tier.
Okay.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I might even have an S plus. I got an S plus tier. Like, you know, I got guys like Kendrick is definitely on just a special level of S tier. You know, you got Lupe, you got Doom, MF Doom. You got, I even put Nas there. You know, those guys like, deserve like those spots on those top tiers because the way they approach the game. In my personal opinion, I like the way they just approach it. And, Lil Dicky is one of those guys, he's good. He might be missing, something where, the game, the change of the game, the shift and stuff. I feel like he's one of those guys who's likely to adapt. I'd say that. I just don't think he's gotten there to a point where he just invents something that adapts and changes a certain sound yet. I feel like that comedy and speaking and narration and storytelling is something that even has existed. His pronounced comedy actually could work to his advantage even. But yeah, we'll see how he evolves, if he evolves, because he made a pretty decent amount of money for rap. I don't know if he necessarily even needs to stay in the game, but yeah. You know, that's my opinion.
Okay. And then back to, I guess, focusing more on the Memphis scene in particular. Charlemagne, you know, Charlemagne the God. Shout out
who?
To-
yeah, I know.
Shout out to him. Shout out to him. So he recently expressed, I saw this on Instagram. He said, the best rappers in the game right now are from Memphis. And so how does that make you feel? And do you agree with this statement?
If I say no, do I get a dunk here today? No, I'm sorry. No. Let me. Memphis is great. Musically is great. It has a lot, especially the underground community in Memphis. Personally, that like I went to shows, a lot of underground shows in Memphis. Great sounds. You get a big punk rock movement going on in the underground scene. You get more synthwave sounds that come in. The underground sound in Memphis is crazy. Like it's absolutely insane. It's you can go into a room of 50 different artists, and you have 50 different sounds that coming out of that room. Like that's the underground scene in Memphis. All right. Now the stream, I guess more mainstream Memphis. I don't even know if they like necessarily made it like that. They give you a certain sound that people say is the sound, but I think the Memphis sound is not. There's a certain sound that people think about when they think of Memphis. I just don't think that's the final form yet. I don't even think it's reached its final form yet. Like you got a certain sound that's definitely Brooklyn. You got a certain sound that's definitely Philly. Right. Memphis got like a you know a main like twangy sound and everything that people think has lacks substance, but no, Memphis you ain't seen Memphis' final form. Memphis is great, and it's also a top tier competitor with like a lot of states. It's a top tier competitor. Like as far as the best coming from Memphis, like where's your criteria on the best? You know what I mean? Because like. You cannot tell me in any sentence that like I like say that you know NLE Chopper or like what it Moneybagg Yo that they're lyrically better than Kendrick Lamar. Like I just can never make that statement. And I'm from Memphis. I can't. Right. But that's not what they're making music for per se. It all comes down to attention and stuff. Right. If you want to talk about things you can bump maybe like in like the car or something, you may bump that like over Kendrick Lamar. I can see that. Like maybe you don't want to be inspired right now. You just want to like don't. Yeah. That's cool. I'm not saying it's all Memphis sounds though. Like that's why I say Memphis hadn't reached its final form. Okay. And I don't think Memphis has seen an artist that transcends to the like that either. Like the biggest artist from Memphis, like what, Yo Gotti, right? I think Yo Gotti like did really great things. He like made again, we do get the Done Trips. We get the 8-Ball MJGs, 3-6 Mafia. You know, those guys, like they got particular songs and they did really great things, but I just don't think Memphis has reached that final form yet. That's my answer. Memphis got to reach a final form.
It's actually like, that's very inspiring.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, it's like, man, it's super crazy sounds coming from the underground. Just wait on it.
And also,
at least
like,
some of these guys got to pop.
Like, along with it is history. Like, already Memphis has that history of. You know, it's the home of blues, rock and roll, soul, like things like that.
No, yes. So that's why I'm saying that's why Memphis is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, and then like, have you noticed in the game, a lot of people are using Memphis samples. Like you know, like I'm hearing some samples coming from a lot of Memphis that were influenced by that, like Down and Dirty, Raw, Dirty South, 3-6 Mafia, Play a Fly type sounds, right? We hearing it with some Project Pat stuff. Project Pat actually makes twerk music now. Let's no, it's UCJ. I'm sorry. Oh, my bad, Project Pat. Oh, if this get uploaded somewhere, boy, the comment says she's gonna kill me, boy. But no, like that. I said it right the first time. Yeah, that Down Dirty Project Pat sound and like 3-6 Mafia sound. Those samples are being used in music in California and in New York. And it's crazy to see those influences. Like that speaks to the reach of Memphis. Memphis can reach other states, and I think it influences other states. But to say it has a sound that. Sonically transcend something, I'd say. Because like when you think about New York, right? You can throw out Biggie. You could throw out like different. You could throw out Doom. You could throw out different types of artists that like kind of transcend the art. You could throw out when you talk about like California. You know, you could throw out your Kendricks, your Tupacs, your stuff. Like, those artists transcend. When you mention Memphis, or whatever, then you throw out like Yo Gotti and 3-6 Mafia. Those artists are great. I don't know if they transcend anything. Even Chicago got a more authentic, like, definitive, like, sound type thing like that, right? They did the drill. And then they got, like, Kanye. They got Chief Keef. They got those are their champions. So, like, I feel like Memphis will develop more champions over time.
Okay.
We have certain champions, yeah, but I think we need more champions. And we're going to get them, especially with what I've been hearing on the underground scene. I think those champions going to come out.
Man, that's inspiring.
Yeah.
Hey, if any of you guys out there listening to this, talented artists, you know, we need
they
champions.
They know who they are. My friends, a couple of them. I said a couple. My friends, yeah. They cool. I even get on. If I'm not friends with them, I'm probably listening and just to see what sounds are coming out of my state, so I can show love. Because, like, you know, there's no reason to hate on something, even if it's not for you. It's still no reason to hate on it. Per se. So I do enjoy anybody who makes music and consistently grinds. Just push the envelope. Continue to push the envelope. That's what I want to see. Yeah. Out of Memphis. And it's going to happen. There are things happening. It's just, so a part of Memphis, a good portion is the promotion. Like talent and everything, that's cool. You can have talent. You can have really good, you can be like the greatest rapper, but nobody's heard of you. See what I mean? Right. You got 20 songs of spitting absolute fire, but just nobody knows who you are.
Right.
So, I think just focusing on promo and stuff, Memphis can be crazy. Memphis can be absolutely insane. Then we got a hero in Ja Morant, too. Oh, boy. He came to Memphis and been putting on.
Wait. So who?
Ja Morant. He's a basketball player.
Okay.
Man, Memphis is evolving to be like one of those top primetime states. It already is, kind of. But like,
oh, not state, city.
No, Memphis is a different state than Tennessee, man. Stop. Like, Memphis hard carries Tennessee.
Okay.
Like, you know, we got Nashville and stuff. Who? Knoxville, Chattanooga. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, what do you think? All right. So, think of Tennessee. Now think of Memphis. You get two very different pictures in your head when you think of it. Memphis is the blackest state in all of Tennessee. You think of Tennessee, you think of horses and cattle and ranches and stuff. You think of Memphis, you think of...
But like all the culture, all the culture's here.
Memphis
is
really rich. That's why I mean, like, it's like, when I say state of Memphis, I mean the state of Memphis, man. Memphis is crazy. Like, that wasn't a typo. Yeah. I know you thought that was it. No, that wasn't a slip-up. I meant what I said. Like, the state of Memphis.